Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, March 22nd, or 25th day of the month of Adar. This is the Women's Mishnah Share. We are in the middle of the 8th parak of Maseches Chulin. Okay, Rabotai. Last week, we read a Mishnah, which we will just review the first line of that particular Mishnah, and then see a critical machloket that is used throughout Shas, quoted frequently. See two or three of the exceptions, and then an interesting statement about of the Rambam. So the bracketed is on page one. It's the Mishnah which we read last week. Basar behema tehora, bichalav behema tehora, asur levashel v'asur bahana'a. In order to create the isur of basa b'chalav, the meat has to be kosher and the source of milk has to be kosher. If it's from a non-kosher animal, the meat of a non-kosher animal, or the milk of a non-kosher animal, and you cook them together, you do not violate the prohibition of lo tevashel gedi b'chalav imo. It requires what?
You still can't eat it.
That's because of a different reason.
Right.
Because it's not kosher.
Right.
But you don't violate the prohibition of lo tevashel gedi b'chalav imo. And you can derive benefit from it. That's correct. Okay. That's what I want to focus on tonight. On the relationship between the prohibition of eating, the prohibition of cooking, and the prohibition of hana'ah, by introducing another very important rule that applies in the laws of kashrut over and over again. So if you go to page 2a for a minute, I bracketed, it's four lines from the bottom, and it deals with the following issue. I have a kosher animal, and I take the chelev of a kosher animal, the fat, the part of the fat that you are not permitted to eat. Every kosher animal has fat that you're allowed to eat. That's called shuman. Every animal, kosher animal, has fat that you're not allowed to eat. That's called chelev. The butcher does a process, in Yiddish we call it trabering, to take off the prohibited fat and only allow to remain only the kosher fat. So here is what I do. I take a section of the chelev, of the prohibited fat, and now I want to cook it in milk. Cook it in milk. Chelev. And so now, before I look at the Gemara, tell me what's your reaction. Obviously, I can't eat it because before I even cooked it, because it was chelev. Penalty for eating chelev is karet.
You can get
hanah from chelev, yes. So now, what happens when I cook it in milk? So, and my question, which will be, can you add isurim to something that is already asur? Can you add isurim to something that is already asur? The chelev, the fat, is already asur. You're not allowed to eat it.
Even though it comes from a kosher animal.
That is correct. Even though it comes from a kosher animal. So now that I cook it, can I create an additional isur on something that is already asur? Or is the fact that I create isurim only on something in which both items initially were permissible? The meat was kosher meat. The milk was kosher milk. Eaten separately, there's no problem whatsoever. But here, I started with something that I can't eat, chelev. Can you compound isurim on top of one another? So the halachic category is known as isur chal al isur. Does one prohibition take place on another item that is already prohibited? That's the question which we're going to discuss tonight.
What's the practical application?
Yeah, it's already Easter.
Okay, so now here comes the thing. Basa b'chalav is asa b'hana.
Right.
So I can't sell it any longer. If it's just chaylev, then I'm allowed to sell it. So if I cook it, and the halacha is the isur of basa b'chalav does not apply, I am still permitted to sell it.
But the chalav, does that have to come from a kosher animal?
Yes, 100%.
And if it doesn't?
It's not basa b'chalav.
Okay. But it doesn't have to be both a non-kosher animal and milk from a non-kosher animal. It's one or the other or both.
In order for it to be prohibited,
right,
both have to be kosher.
Right, no.
Either or. Correct. I'm talking about kosher animals here.
Okay.
The fat of a kosher animal. The milk of a kosher animal. That's my question. And of course, the second question is, how many little schmeissen are you going to get in your records upstairs?
Wait, what was the concept that we once learned about if someone does two infractions? I forget what the terminology is. You're only guilty for the one.
That's right. It's not really related to this. That is called kum leibed rabba minei. That if there are two consequences to apply, you only apply the more severe one and not that. But that's not this issue. That's one action that generates consequences. I always give you the famous example. It's the olden days where people hung their sheets out on the line outside in the backyard. And I take an arrow and I shoot an arrow and it rips the sheets and then keeps going and kills somebody. Do I have to pay for the sheets? The answer is no, because I'm going to be executed for having killed that person. So my estate, that's the halach of kum leibed rabba. This is something else.
Can I just ask something? I just forgot about this. When you're saying it's a kosher animal, also it was shechted kosher. It isn't just that it's such kosher.
That is correct.
A little part of it has
correct. We said last week that if you take a kosher animal, but it was not, so what do we call that? Nevela. Right. Nevela does not create basa b'chalav.
So in this case, the fat is not kosher.
Correct.
So it isn't the same, even though it came from a kosher animal, it's still not the same.
Okay, so let's see what the issue is. Let's see what the issue is.
So if there were two things that the person's over on, then you add to your serums, yes?
It's possible. There is one opinion that you can't. Once it's usur already, that's it. But there will be three exceptions where everyone agrees it does work, and one of them is going to be related to our case. Yes?
What's the difference between us and the Mishnah that they're going to do?
What are the
milk and non-kosher meat.
And non-kosher meat? This was the Mishnah.
Right.
This was the Mishnah. We did this Mishnah last week.
Right.
This, I'm just bringing it in to review to start the next case.
No, but now we're talking about Halo.
Correct. That's correct. That's why the Gemara talks about it, because it's not in the Mishnah.
Okay.
The Mishnah only talks about kosher animals.
Right.
This chaylev is from a kosher animal.
The permissible meat from a kosher animal.
Correct. This, however, is the chaylev. It's not permissible fat.
Right.
So let's see. Okay, let's give the Gemara a little chance to get started. Says the Gemara, Itmar, we learned. Hamavashel chaylev b'chalav. Somebody cooked chaylev with chalav. Rabbi, Rab Ami, v'Rab Asi. There is a debate between Rav Ami and Rav Asi. We're not 100% sure who holds what. Chad Amar Loke, V'chad Amar Eino Loke. One says that you get lashes for cooking it. Just the cooking. Cooking the fat in milk. Because basa b'chalav, it's not just that you're not allowed to eat it. It's not just that you're not allowed to derive benefit. You're not allowed to cook it. Well, I did cook it. So, I cooked the milk and the fat. So one of them says, I will get lashes for having cooked meat and milk together.
Even though it's
chaylev. Even though it's chaylev. What?
Even though it's chaylev?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Even though it's chaylev. So I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to eat this.
You can cook chaylev? Just chaylev.
You can cook it.
You can cook chaylev anytime you want. Just can't eat it.
Okay.
In fact, 99% of all isurim, you're allowed to cook them. Makes your pot not cold. You have to pass it a pot. But if you couldn't care less about that, there's no problem with the act of cooking. The only time that there's a problem is by basa b'chalav, because the Torah expresses itself lo to Vashem.
Could you give it to your animal?
No. If you did, what can you give to your animal?
The
plain chaylev?
That you cook.
No, because it's... Oh, well, we'll see in 2 seconds. Well, that'll be there. So one opinion is you get malchus. V'chad omar, eino loke. And the other person said, no, you do not get lashes for cooking chaylev together with milk. So the Gemara asks, lema beha kamiflagi. Let us suggest that this is the point of departure. What are they arguing about? Answers the Gemara. Demand amar loke, the one who says you do get lashes, kasavar is of the opinion, isur chal al isur. It is conceptually possible to take something that is already prohibited and create another prohibition on top of it. So if you hold that principle is accurate, what happened when you cooked the milk with the meat, with the fat? The Isur of Basa B'Chalav was added. Well, once the Isur of Basa B'Chalav is added, you get lashes for having done what?
Cooked
for cooking them. Because it is possible to... add one Isur on top of another Isur. Uman de Omar Eino Loke Kosovar Eini Suchal al Isur. The other person is of the opinion that says no. You cannot generate an Isur on something that is already Usur. You can't. No matter what you do to it. Once something is already asur, it is asur. You don't have to compound multiple. You can't compound multiple isurim. Yes.
I thought it wasn't asur to cook it. I'm a little bit confused here.
You,
it's not like it's kosher meat in kosher milk. Totally asur. This is the chaylev
of the kosher animal.
Okay. But
so now we want to know. Can you violate the prohibition of basar b'chalav in this case or not?
No, because it's not basar, because the chaylev is not permissible. The animal
that's
is
what
kosher.
I was asking before.
Okay.
The animal is kosher.
Isn't
but the
it
chaylev
the same as non-kosher meat?
No.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So hold on. Let me explain the difference. Let me explain the difference. If I take... under normal circumstances, if you have one Isur compounding with another Isur, almost everybody says, Ein Isur Chalal Isur. You can't. However, if the second Isur adds a dimension that the first one did not have, then we say Isur Chalal Isur. And I'm going to give you three. Ah, that's the So that might be done up, might be the Bishul. Good. That's what we're talking about tonight. Okay? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you have a normal Isur, right? A normal Isur. A guy takes a neder, I am never going to eat an avela. That's nice. Okay. You can't eat an avela even if you wanted to eat. But normally, if you take a neder and you violate it, what happens? What happens if you violate an oath of yours? You violate a lav. Lo yachel devaro. Don't desecrate your word. And you violate an aseh. Motza svatecha tishmar. Listen to what you said. But here, the neder is not going to be chal. Why will the neder not be chal? Because it's nevela, it's asur anyhow. And the neder doesn't add another component other than the fact that you're not allowed to eat it. Because what was the neder? I am not going to eat nevela. So in such a case, you will not violate the prohibition of violating your neder. Why? Because you already violated the prohibition of eating a piece of nevela meat. So, ein isur chal al isur. But listen to me, two more seconds. But there are three cases where we say the two can be compounded. One is called an isur mosif. Mosif. It adds something. What does it add? An isur hanah, for example. An isur hanah. So, take chametz. Chametz is asur b'hanah as well. So if I were to go ahead and cook nevela meat with chametz something, you would violate the prohibition of both of them. Because even though the nevela is already asur, and I breaded it with chametz, the chametz generates something that the nevela did not have. You're allowed to sell nevela meat to a Gentile. You are. But once it's breaded with chametz, chametz is asur b'hanah. So in such a case, where you are mosif, where the second prohibition adds something above and beyond the first one, then the second isur applies. The second isur applies. Example number two. It's called an Isur Kolel. Kaf, Vav, Lamed, Lamed. Not the Kolel that we know of, but an Isur Kolel means it's a more expansive, it includes more categories. I'll give you the example. I eat Nevela on Yom Kippur. I eat Nevela on Yom Kippur. Now,
so it's nevela and you're not fasting.
Okay, forget about the not fasting issue. Let's not deal with it. I want to know, do you violate the Isur of eating on Yom Kippur?
Yes.
After all, hold on, don't say yes so fast. I'm not saying you're fasting. I'm asking if you violated the lav. The item which you put into your mouth was already Isur.
Right.
It's nevela.
Not edible.
It's like, you want to say
it could be edible. I cooked it. It's edible. But it's asur. So why is it that in this case I will be held accountable for eating nevela and Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur is a more expansive prohibition. It includes kosher food too. Nevela is only non-kosher meat. But on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat non-kosher meat, and you're not allowed to eat kosher meat. Since the second prohibition, namely Yom HaKippurim, expands the items that are included in the package of not eating, therefore both of them take place. Both of them take place.
How can you say includes non-kosher meat? That doesn't make sense to me.
What do you mean? Are you allowed to?
You're never allowed to eat that.
Okay, so what? But I ask you now a question. If I ate non-kosher meat on Yom Kippur, will I violate the law of eating on Yom Kippur?
Yes. I would say no, because you're deriving pleasure from eating.
But without this principle, I would have said you can't create a second prohibition on something that is what? Already prohibited. The meat is already prohibited. So now you can tell, oh, you're not allowed to eat this meat on Yom Kippur? Yeah?
Why can't you view it the other way?
What's the other way?
that your first Yisur is eating on Yom Kippur, and now you're adding to it.
No, because the Nevela preceded it.
What does that mean?
When did it become Nevela?
Yesterday.
Or today. How did it become Nevela? I shechted it not properly. You can't eat before you shecht it. Can't eat before. So first you had to make it Nevela. Now you're worried about eating on Yom Kippur.
So you're allowed to make something Nevela.
But the fact is that it was there. You asked me what happens if it came first. The fact is that this piece of meat will have been Nevela before you violated the Isur of eating on Yom Kippur. That's why the Isur of Yom Kippur takes effect. Because the second Isur on top of the Nevela is a more expansive one. It says you can't eat ringdings, you can't eat kosher meat, you can't eat rice wheels, cottage cheese. You get the picture. Good.
Seems to me you're eating the Nevela and you're eating on the exact same moment in time.
Correct, but what was...
I don't know why you don't say you're eating on Yom Kippur. That's the first Isur, and then...
Because this Esau existed before Yom Kippur could have even started. It's not an Esau that needs Yom Kippur to be created. I shecht something Erev Yom Kippur and I made it Nevela. It's Nevela. It's Nevela. So now, I'm going to give you a case for the third exception, where it happens simultaneously. And in truth is, Yom Kippur could have happened simultaneously, but I didn't want to eat because I want to use Yom Kippur for the other illustration. Okay? I shechted an animal on Shabbos and I made it Nevela.
That's
got to
be
your
Okay.
Now I'm going to ask you the question. Now I'm going to ask you, how many prohibitions are you going to violate?
You don't make a Nevela on purpose. Isn't it?
No. You are angry at the person who asked you to shecht. You're going to mess him up.
Careful.
I'm deliberately. I'm going to make Nevela. I'm going to have to pay him for it if they take him to the Bezdin. Have to take him to the Bezdin. So here's what happened. At what moment did this animal become a Nevela? At what moment did it become a Nevela? When you were in the middle of the Shechita. You have to be in the middle. You can't become a Nevela unless you're in the middle of Shechita.
Wait, can't you shoot it with a gun?
What?
What if you kill it with a gun?
That's not...
Okay.
That's another way. That's
so, okay. That's also a Nevela.
It's also happening at the...
That's also a Nevela. Will you violate an Isur of Chilul Shabbos by shooting an animal on Shabbos?
Yes.
Good. So when did it become a Nevela and when were you Michal Shabbos?
Same time.
At the same time.
Well, you can say when you cock the pistol.
No. We're not going to be that... We are not going to be that fancy.
You can't shoot an animal. That's not a form of Nevela.
Yes, it is. It's the perfect Nevela.
You still can't.
No. The definition of Nevela means an animal that died through anything but a kosher shechita. That's Nevela. An animal that dies anyway with the exception of a kosher shechita.
So it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of a legitimate shechita and there was a nick, or if you shoot it with a gun.
Right. A nick is something. A nick in what?
Like if the shechita went bad, something happened to the knife.
So, but that would probably make it a trefa, not a Nevela.
Yeah, I forgot.
Okay. So, a nevela, I'll give you a simple case of nevela. You paused more than 2 seconds. You paused. Once you, it's one of the five hilcha shchita, five halacha l'mesh mesina, that if the shochet starts shechting and he delays for the amount of time it would have taken him to complete it properly, the animal is automatically nevela.
Not trace. So you can't
have shekhi. It's nevela.
What? If you're a mohel or if you're a shekhi, you can't have shekhi.
No.
That is
correct.
Do not think that's a joke,
right.
My friend.
No, I don't think it's a joke.
It's not. My brother, my youngest brother, had the same mohel that I had. And we're 7 years in between. But he developed Parkinson's and he didn't tell anybody. We had to take him to the hospital right from the shul to get stitched up by a thing. And then we told the rabbi at the shul, and he put out a kol kaire. Ain't nobody ever allowed to use this mail again.
Wow.
This is when we're still living in the Heights, in Washington Heights, no to be heathen. Yeah, so it's not a joke. So here's what happens. It became a nevela at the very second that you were Michal Shabbos. So under those circumstances where it's Chal Bivat Achad, it's called Bivat Achad, Bet Tav, then everybody says Isur Chal Al Isur. You can have multiple when they both at the same time. So there are three cases Bivat Achat, with the two Isurim. So the three cases which are exceptions to the rule of Ein Isur, normally we say Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. Three exceptions are, A, it's an Isur Mosif, the second Isur adds something, such as an Isur Anah, an Isur Bishul. Case number two, it's an Isur Kolel. The second Isur includes more items than the first one did. So the classic case is Yom Kippur. The third one is when the two Isurim take place at the exact same time. No one preceded each other. Because until you shecht an animal, you're not Michal Shabbos. But until you shecht an animal and do something wrong, you can't make it, it's not an Avela. So when you engage in the shechita and do something wrong, that's when you are Michal Shabbos. That's when you went ahead and made it nevela. Then both of them take place.
Isn't it?
Yes.
When you say you can't add an isra on top of an isra, what if the punishments are different? Does it affect?
No. In fact, the chalev case would be a perfect difference. The basa b'chalev punishment is just lashes. Chalev is kares. So if you eat the basa b'chalev, you'll get lashes first, and then you'll get kares. The God will do whatever He does, whatever He defines as kares. We're not quite sure what kares is. Yes?
I just wonder if this relates at all. You say a bracha on non-kosher food.
Okay.
That's a different issue?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So machlok is the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam writes, you never make a bracha on anything that you are not allowed to eat.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Never. Not a bracha rishoina, not a bracha achroina. The Ravid, the person who sits in the Rambam and he argues him, says, no. Of course you make a bracha. Because you got benefit from it. So you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the filet mignon tasted great. The only thing that the Rambam, the Ravid, does not allow you to do is have a zimun if you're eating non-kosher foods.
If you're in war or something,
right,
but
else.
Then you should say a bracha because you're very grateful.
Then you might because you're allowed to eat it.
Right. I'm not talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Soldiers are allowed to eat non-kosher meat.
I'm just trying to think of a scenario where someone would be eating non-kosher kosher meat and want to say bracha. It would be something like that.
He's sick. Or he's like in the hospital. He's hospital. Yes, 100%.
Or someone who does off the dinner at the end still feels compelled to come up, but they just can't live without making a bracha.
Yeah, okay. That's good. So again, if the doctor tells you, here's the case. If the doctor tells you that you're not allowed to fast and you eat on Yom Kippur, of course you make a bracha, because it's not prohibited. You're not allowed to fast. It's one of my biggest challenges to tell people you must eat. Yeah, sometimes I had to tell myself that. I have to eat. Last year, 2 years ago, I had the problem. Doctor said I'm not fast. And it wasn't fun. Must tell you that. Not fun.
If there's two issers that one negates, you only can have one, do you pick the most stringent punishment?
What was that?
Like if it's in a case not of one of these three cases, another case, do you just pick for a punishment the most stringent?
No, you don't pick anything. The Rabbi Shalom picks. The Rabbi right. So then, if it's here is the answer. If it's a punishment in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he takes care of it.
Obviously.
But if it's lashes, we do it. You'll get the lashes, even though it's the lesser of the two. Yes.
Oh, but even something like karet, we do karet, like you cut someone off.
No, we don't.
Community. Don't you, like,
no, it's called cutting off community, but there is a debate as to what karet means. Some say means you're going to die before you're 60 years old. Some say it means you lose your chelik in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden. Some say it means your children are going to predecease you. That's what Karis is. There are several opinions. Nobody knows what it means because the Torah never defines it. It just uses V'nichrusa ha-nefesh ahi me'ameha. That's what the expression that the Torah uses for eating on Yom Kippur, for eating chametz. V'nichrusa ha-nefesh ahi me'ameha.
There's no ostracizing.
Absolutely not. No, you're like anything else.
Yeah.
You're like anybody else. Now, if you turn to page 2 for a minute, he just summarizes exactly what I just told you. Exactly what I just told you. Where he writes, after where I bracketed in bays in the smaller print, Lefishiyesh gimel mine isurim. Three types of isurim. Isur kolel, isur mosif, isur bevasachas. So now, this is the marik, a tshuva of the marik. You know what the marik's talking about. You heard of those three things. And there are going to be lots of people online tomorrow in Glad Express and all those other places who are going to be asked this question. You know what isur mosif is? Isur kolel kigon ze shel yom kippurim shekolel sheasur hakol. Isur mosif kigon haochel chelev shel behema nevela shekvar asur hachelev umosif alav isur nevela. What did he do? The animal, before you started shechting, the chelev was already prohibited. Already prohibited. Now what did I do? I added something on top of it. On top of it. And then, Isu b'vasachas. Kigon ha-mevashel basar b'chala b'shabas. Sheshneyem k'achas. Somebody decided to cook milk and meat together on Shabbos. So when do you violate the law of basar b'chala? When it's cooked. When do you violate the Isu of Shabbos? When it's cooked. When it's cooked. And it's a funny halacha. If you take a fire, if there's a fire on, and you take a pot, and you put it on the flame, and you take it off before it cooks, you violate nothing on a d'oraisa level. Because you didn't cook. The isur is bishul. The isur is not putting it on the flame. The isur is to cook. Well, I didn't cook. It's not cooked yet. How far it has to be cooked?
Yeah.
A third, a half. There's all kinds of opinions.
So the robbers would eat it?
That's correct. As much as how much the robbers would be eating to eat. That's one third. One third of it. Good. Now, The example that we gave always in indicating, or one of the examples of an Isur Mosif, Mosif was the fact that the second prohibition was Asur B'Hana'ah in addition to the original one, which was only Asur B'Achila. Right? So I'll give you half a dozen. Basar B'Chalav is one of them. Basar B'Chalav is the Chalev is just, you're not allowed to eat it. And the Basar B'Chalav component says you can't derive benefit. All of that is predicated upon rejecting one of the most famous opinions in Shas. One of the most famous opinions in Shas. His name is Rabbi Avohu. I should have put him down. If you want to look it up, it's in Psachim, chapter, second chapter, 21b. Rabbi Avohu. Rabbi Avohu says, any time the Torah uses the word Lo tochal, lo tochelu, lo yochelu, it includes an Isur Hana'ah as well. Any time the Torah tells you, do not eat, it includes an Isur Hana'ah as well. Unless the Torah has stipulated and said that it's Mutter and Hana'ah.
Is there such a place
where it says that? Oh yes. Yes. In Dvarim, chapter 14, here is what it says. Lo tochal kol nevelam. Lager asher bisharecha titnena va'achala o machur l'nachri. You can give it to a ger. It doesn't mean a ger, our ger, a complete Gentile. Means what's called a ger toshav. A Gentile who is permitted to live in Israel because he accepts Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and pays taxes to the Israeli government. That person is allowed to live in Israel. We will not chepe him. That's called a Ger Toshav. A Ger Toshav, you're allowed to give him Nevela. So there the Torah explicitly states that you're allowed to derive benefit. But in the absence of a situation where it's automatically Asur B'Achila and B'Hana'ah. So now I ask you, is Chelev Asur B'Achila and Asur B'Hana'ah or not? What does the Torah say? Kol Chelev Lo Tochelu. Well, it's Asur B'Hana'ah too.
Because it's
Asur B'Achila, it's also Asur B'Hana'ah. So in which case, if I were to take Basar B'Chalav, milk, and cook it with chalev, why would it be an Isur Mosif? Not because of what? The Isur Hana'ah, because it's Asur B'Hana'ah. What creates the Isur Hana'ah? What was it? Because you're now allowed to cook it. The Isur Bishul. That was added by what? By adding the Basar B'Chalav dimension. Not because it's Asur B'Hana'ah. It's Asur B'Hana'ah by itself. That's Rabbi Avohu's opinion. Chizkiyah disagrees and says the Torah knows how to say that something is Asur B'Hana'ah. Well, if it wrote that you're not allowed to eat it, it means you're not allowed to eat it, but you can sell it and derive benefit. Unless the Torah writes Lo Ye'ochel. Lo ye'ochel, not lo tochal, lo tochelu, but lo ye'ochel. Translate: it shall not be consumed. Lo ye'ochel.
Passive.
Passive, and that says Chizkiyah means consumed in any fashion whatsoever, not to use it as a salve, not to do anything. But unless it says lo ye'ochel, under those circumstances, it is mutter b'hana'ah, and then you can now look at cooking chalev and basar b'chalav, chalev with milk, as what is the isur nosaf, what is the ed? You don't have to come on to it. It could be the bishul, but what else could it be? That it's asur b'hana'ah. Basar b'chalav is asur b'hana'ah. Because chalev is not asur b'hana'ah. Because it doesn't say the word ye'ochel by chalev.
says that for
no.
We know because it's
by basa b'chal, because it says three times.
So that counts.
That counts.
When is it? Is that word used for what is it?
I will give you an example. Chapter 13, Book of Exodus, verse 3. Lo ye'ochel chametz. Everybody, so that's why Rabbi Avos, it says lo tochal chametz. So Rabbi Avos says, I don't need lo ye'ochel. But Chizki says, I need lo ye'ochel. An animal that gored and killed a human being. Animal that gored.
Did we know in advance?
Yeah. So what does the Torah say? You have to stone, you have to kill the ox. Velo ye'ochel bisharo. Its carcass cannot be sold, nothing, no benefit whatsoever. Good. So now I've given you the groundwork, and I tell you, is there anybody on this planet who believes that chametz is mutar b'hanah? Based on what I just told you 5 minutes ago. Is there anybody who says that chametz is mutar b'hanah? No, it says lo ye'ochel, and it says lo tochal. So whether you hold like Rabbi Avoh Chizki, very nice. So my question to you should be, if I mixed chametz with something else that was not asur b'hanah, I mixed nevela meat and I breaded it with chametz, and now I cooked it. Question is it asur b'hanah or not?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's a broad.
Because chametz is includes an isur hanah.
You're not allowed to eat it.
Good. Good. Now comes the Rambam with a blitz. This is the Rambam's blitz. Turn to page number 4. Page number 3, rather. Is the Rambam's blitz. I'm going to tell it to you outside first, and then, if we have time, we'll read it inside. The Rambam believes that even though basa b'chalav is asur b'hana'a, no doubt, it is not considered a separate, independent prohibition. It's a subcategory of the prohibition of eating. I'm gonna say this again. Rambam believes, against everybody else, that when we read the Mishnah last week, the Mishnah said, it says, Lo tevashel gedi, three times in the Torah. Once to teach me I'm not allowed to cook. Once to teach me I'm not allowed to eat if I cooked it. Wants to tell me I'm not allowed to sell it if I cooked it, says the Rambam, that's not true. The Isur is, there are only two Isurim. One Isur is that you're not allowed to cook. The second Isur is that you're not allowed to eat. But the Isur of eating includes the Isur Hanah. That's the Rambam's Chiddush. So now, I'm just going to, before I start elaborating for a second, I'm going to give you a test case based on what we talked about tonight.
Could you say that again?
Yes. Yes. According to the Rambam, as opposed to the way we understand it, by basa b'chalav, there are three separate prohibitions. You're not allowed to cook. If you cook, you're not allowed to eat. If you cook, you're not allowed to derive benefit. Says the Rambam, not true. There are only two prohibitions. You're not allowed to cook. And two, if you cook, you're not allowed to eat. But as a subcategory of eating, what is that? No. You're not allowed to derive benefit. But it's not a separate prohibition.
Mm-hmm. What difference does it make?
Oh. It's going to make thousands of differences.
Okay. Then what does Rambam do with the third?
I have no idea. That's a very good question. He will say, as the Gemara often does, to state the prohibition. Sometimes you darshan halachot based on extra psukim. The pasuk is written three times. Like it says, lo tochal alav chametz, three times. So what did Rabbi Yehuda do? Say, why is it three times? He said, once to teach me, three different applications. Once, that you're not allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. It's got it written once. Once that you're not allowed to eat it on Erev Yom Tov. Chametz is also on Erev Yom Tov. And once, chametz she'over avol av Pesach. If you didn't sell your chametz, you're not allowed to eat it. How many of those times are really extra to darshan? How many of those times? Only twice.
Two.
You can't say that the third, all three are extra to teach you halachot. Because if the first one wasn't there, you would not eat your chametz on Pesach. That's how Rambam looks at the Lal Tavashel Gediba Chalevimo. I need one pasuk which I don't darshan. I just state the halacha. Now I start using drashot. Ah, there's a separate prohibition to cook even if you don't eat it. There's a separate prohibition to eat if you cook it. So that's not the most difficult thing. But I want to give you a test case based on what we discussed tonight. Would the Rambam say that chametz is an iser mosif because of the iser hana'ah? What did we say tonight?
Subsumed.
Good. Good. It's subsumed, but it's not a separate prohibition. Good. So now I take my nevela meat and I bread it with chametz on Pesach. How many violations do I violate? According to the Rambam. I am going to eat it, of course. Yes.
But two of them, one of them is subsumed under the other one. So it's two.
Say it sharper. In order for compounding of Isur, the second Isur has to add something above and beyond the first. What was in the Isur Nevela? What was in the Isur Nevela? That just you're not allowed to eat. Now, before I opened up my mouth about this famous Rambam, what would we think about breading it with chametz? It adds, because it's an Isur Hana'ah as well. Not only are you not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to have Hana'ah from chametz. But now that the Rambam says Hana'ah is not a separate Isur, what is Hana'ah? A subcategory, an extension of eating. Good, so here comes the funny case. I take my nevela meat, I bread it with what? Chametz. I will only violate one prohibition.
You bread it and you cook it.
And I eat it.
Wait,
who cares about cooking? Of course you cook it. I cooked it on Yom Tov. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. I cooked it on... I'm not talking about basa b'challah. I'm talking about chametz. Breading chametz with an nevela piece of meat.
Okay.
How many prohibitions will be recorded in my record book?
One.
I understand nevela. That under the other one, subsumed. That doesn't make sense to me.
That what?
That it goes under the eating. Because, does he mean because you're getting pleasure yourself? But if you're getting giving pleasure to yourself...
To your dog?
No, you're giving it... Just, even if you give it like as charity to someone else and it's making you feel good, how does that go under eating?
That's why no one agrees with
me. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to put it under
okay.
eating.
So,
they're two different things.
Okay, so listen to the language of the Rambam. Let's go to page... I bracket it. V'yesh bidvareinu eile nikuda nifla'a. Do you see it? The bracketed? It's towards the bottom of the bracket. V'yesh bidvareinu eile nikuda nifla'a. This is what I told you. Rav Shatzkis, Zichrona Livracha, was the first question he asked any musmach who came in. What is the Nekuda Neflah of the Rambam in his Perish HaMishnah is the Mitzachas Krisos?
So now we'll know.
This is it. And the Rav could not understand how some yo-yo couldn't get the answer Because every single kid who was tested before him could have said, buddy, expect that's the question, because that's his first question every single time. He wanted to see if you knew this nekuda nifla. And why do I call it a nekuda nifla? Lefi shehi mafteach le'inyanim acherim. It's going to open up doors in lots of other areas of halacha. Then I could read the whole thing, but it's going to take a while to read. But what he says is, let me just give you the last line and where he actually says it. He writes, look at the next to the last line, before those last two lines, which is a different Rambam, the next where it says Ve'ein Hadavar Ken. Ela Anu Omrim Shelo Ne'esar Basar B'chalav Ze B'hana'a. Basar B'chalav is not Asa B'hana'a. What is Basar B'chalav? It's Asa B'hana'a, but it's a subsidiary of Isur V'Achila. Now, how does he prove it? He's going to hit the proof. Well, we are studying tonight. Halo tir'eh b'mishneh, you will have seen in the Mishnah, Judy, we studied this Mishnah last week, the entire Mishnah. Shebasar behema tmeya. Mazeh basar behema tmeya. Non-kosher meat. A non-kosher animal. Mutar levashel. Umutar bahana'a. Why are you allowed to have hana'a from if you cook a non-kosher animal with milk, based on what we said tonight? What? With kosher milk. A non-kosher animal with kosher milk. What did we say? Should the Isur of Basa B'chalav add something to the Isur of not eating kosher meat?
No.
Of course it should. What should it have added? That you now have hana'a from it. That you should have had hana'a from it.
No, you're allowed to.
No, it's bus. You're allowed to have. The answer is you're allowed to.
Yeah.
That shows me that the Isur Hana'a is not a separate component. Because if it was a separate component, what would have happened had you taken non-kosher meat and cooked it in kosher milk? Would you get punishment for both? Yeah, because what type of Isur would it be? Isur Mosi. It's adding on an Isur Hanav. But the Mishnah says it's Mutabana. Yet the Rambam doesn't say you're allowed to sell real basar b'chala, kosher meat and kosher milk. So what does he come up with the conclusion? It's a subsidiary.
Wait, explain this again, because I'm somehow not getting it.
Okay. The Mishnah said, if you had non-kosher meat
and
cooked
kosher
with kosher milk, what are you allowed to do?
You can't eat it, but you would sell it. You could sell it.
Good. Now, based on what we said an hour ago, if you have two isurim, and the second one adds a dimension, then you violate both.
Oh, so that adds a dimension.
Exactly.
You should violate both, but you don't.
But you don't. That's what Rambam says.
It's
correct. Okay. That's how we arrived at this conclusion.
That's very
circuitous. That makes so much sense.
What?
That makes so much sense. I mean, what other explanation is there?
Okay. I could quote it. The simple explanation is, because it's not Gedi.
Right.
Remember Rabbi Yossi says, Nemach Shalosh from Gedi. Why did the Torah write the word Gedi? Because a Gedi is a kosher animal. So if it's got to be, and it has milk. So it's got to be kosher milk, kosher animal. That's why. Not because it's fancy business. But the Rambam came up with this, and it's called the puzzling halacha. Nikuda, the puzzling point, nifla'ah, the startling point. And now you know something that Musmachim are supposed to know. So you could have been up there Sunday night. That's all. The Nekuda Nifla'a. And where did he bury this? In a Perush HaMishnayos of Maseches Krisus, which is not learned very frequently. Not learned very frequently.
So people think everyone knows this.
99% of Orthodox Jewry never heard of this. 99 of observant Orthodox Jewry. Haredi Orthodox Jewry. 99%. Please do. Go right ahead. That's it. No. Unless you notice Perush HaMishnayos, you don't know it. Yes.
How do things resolve when you have an argument between somebody like a Rabbayu and a Priskia?
The Gemara has rules of Psak.
Okay. Is there one that's like a Kama and
no, they're both Amoraic sages. Right. We have to pass, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Avo.
Rambam.
Yes.
Do we
pass
like Rambam?
Yes.
Oh, we do?
Rambam says any time where the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, it's Asabana. Yet, and I gave a Shabbos HaGadol drasha about this a couple of years ago, many years ago, the Rambam for the establishing the prohibition of not having Hanah from Chametz quotes Chizkiyah's Pasuk, Lo Yeyachel Chametz. So everybody asks, what did he eat it for? He passed them like Rabbi Avo. So it is, that's why I gave the share. There's 15 answers to that question.
You mean if someone gives me something that's not kosher and I give it away to someone in my office, I'm not...
You violate nothing. Only chametz.
Oh, it's only chametz. Okay.
Chametz. Regular, non-kosher, give it away to the people in your office. That's
yeah.
the best thing.
Yeah, no, that's what I do. But
of course. Not chametz. Chametz you can't.
Yeah.
You have to throw it out.
Well, ahead of time you can.
That's...
On Pesach. Then it's not Pesach.
Right, right, right.
Yes.
And preparation.
That is no problem. You can give away anything before Yontif. That's
right.
Correct.
That's true.
Sure.
Are you going to have a Pesach Shir on Wednesday or is it that Thursday?
It's that Thursday.
Okay.
All right. Tuesday is going to be the Halachic Shir. Right. Thursday, March 30th, is going to be Insights into the Haggadah. How many people like that little video that we sent them?
So funny, so clever.
I must say I can't take credit for it. But I saw it and I said I'm going to send this to the whole shul. It was funny.
Yeah.
You think they're in prison. Exactly.
During the orange door.
Right.
It was